Agenda item number 10, a request for a public hearing. Mr. Badger, we're seeing a lot of you here today.
Too much. I'd just soon not be here.
We'll remember that on your performance evaluation.
One more shot at me.
That's right. One more year till retirement. Well, maybe we can change that. You're too valuable to lose, Hank.
No. We won't go there. This is a request for a public hearing to set aside approximately 805 acres of unassigned state bottom. And this area would not be leased for oyster grind purposes in Cobb Bay, adjacent to and south of Public Grand 13, and approximately 963 acres in South Bay, adjacent to and east of Public Grand 30 in Northampton County. The area is identified as suitable for submerged aquatic vegetation growth and restoration. Not very good, but the arrows are marking Cobb Bay and South Bay, Lower Eastern Shore, Seaside, Northampton County. Quad sheet showing in general the two areas that we're asking to go to public hearing. This is the one in South Bay for 805, and down here it will be in three parcels for set aside in this area in South Bay. This is a quad sheet with our oyster grind and public grind maps on top of it. Again, this is Cobb Bay in this area here, and then these three areas right here. And just a little history. Prior to 1933, the coastal base had eel grass up and down the entire area, particularly in Cobb Bay and the lower portion of the shore, and even up in Chincoteague. This all changed in 1933 when the hurricane came through, and then some disease on top of it, which wiped out all of the eel grass. Prior to that, we actually had a shell of public scallop grinds that were set aside on the Eastern Shore Seaside, and they were actually still in effect until the early 90s when the commission removed them. But obviously, after the 33 storm, there wasn't any substrate for them to attach to. Again, this is what we'll be asking for in Area 1 in South in Cobb Bay, which is 805 acres. Area 2, which is 544 acres, Area 3, 190, and Area 4, 228 acres, for a total of 1,767 acres. Just to go through this map a little bit, the area in light green here and up here is areas that already have SAB in them, and according to VIMS, the thought is that the dark green areas is where the SAB will continue to grow into in these areas down here. We also have already set aside 727 acres in this blue area right here, and we've also set aside for SAB another 507.9 acres in Hog Island Bay for the restoration of SAB. And according to VIMS, according to VIMS, 380 acres of eelgrass has been planted with 51 million seed over the past 11 years, and in that 380 acres is spread over 4,700 acres in four adjoining bays, making this the largest and most successful eelgrass restoration project on Earth. Along with the eelgrass success, VIMS has reintroduced the bay scallop into the eelgrass beds. And between 2013 and 14, the number of adult scallops found in one eelgrass bed of 1,275 acres has jumped or grown from 29,000 scallops to over 113,000 scallops. Obviously, this is a significant increase. And only bay scallops can only live for approximately 2 years, so their population can fluctuate pretty quickly depending on the environment. If SAB is not prevalent, and the scallop industry will potentially go away. So the continuous success of the bay scallops restoration efforts is dependent on maintaining the SAB beds on which the scallops depend. The issue here is SAB has expanded well beyond the original eelgrass restoration efforts in South Bay, Cobb Bay, and Spotted Crab Bay. In some areas, it is expected to expand into other adjacent vacant bottom that could also be leased for oyster grime. Through the years, private shellfish growers have expressed concerns that eelgrass restoration and its spread could continue to the point of precluding other uses, which would need leasing of grime. Currently, SAV covers approximately 4.7% of the underwater lands on the seaside of the eastern shore, and according to VIMS, it only has the potential to spread naturally to another 5%, and only in a few of these bays, which we've talked about in the past, in January, in Bob Orr's presentation on SAV on the seaside, we discussed this. This analysis was presented to the Commission at their January 2014 meeting, resulting in the Commission requesting recommendations for new set-aside areas on the seaside. The recommended SAV areas are a result of the Commission's request and in cooperation with VIMS, VMRC, Virginia Coastal Zone Management Program, and the ACMAC Northampton County PDC staff. By setting areas aside not to be leased, staff believes this will prevent potential future conflicts regarding lease requests and shellfish activities at these areas, with SAV expected to spread. Furthermore, this should provide the continued success of the seaside SAV restoration efforts. With this, we're recommending to hold a public hearing at the December 9th commission meeting to consider the SAV set-aside areas in Cobb Bay for 805 acres and in South Bay for approximately 963 acres. This is a few just closer shots. You can see where VIMS expects it to expand. It's the darker green. It's already in the lighter green. Again, it's already expanded well outside of the set-aside area here into some of these areas. And right now, these areas could be leased because there's no SAV in them. And I think we're just trying to get a little head start on what the potential conflicts could be with leasing these areas.
Thank you. Any questions from the commission? Dr. Orth is present. Dr. Orth, would you like to come up and give us an update on where we're standing and your thoughts on the public hearing that's being requested for
December? Sure. Well, thank you very much for...
Please identify yourself.
Bob Orth from the Virginia Institute of Marine Science. Thank you very much for allowing me a few minutes here. As you know, in the past few years, I've made annual presentations to you, updating you on SAV issues in the Chesapeake Bay as well as coastal bays. One of those issues has been the restoration of seagrasses in these coastal bays. And with the presentation I made in January, we offered up this opportunity to perhaps expand the set-aside areas based on the fact that now that we've seen eelgrass revegetating these coastal bays, we had the distinct opportunity to enhance what we call these ecosystem services, the benefits that these beds provide to these coastal bays. You know, Hank gave you a really good background on what these bays were like back in the 30s. Very productive eelgrass beds and incredibly productive for the ecosystem services, one of which was the bay scallop, which provided a very significant commercial income to people that were working in these areas. Yes, sir.
Just note for the record here, the bay scallop fishery at one point was a million pound a year fishery. It was substantial, but no more. So the work that Dr. Orth's been doing has been helping that.
With the success that we had that started in 97, as we saw these beds expand naturally from the areas that we were restoring, Dr. Lutherbach and I had these ongoing discussions about the opportunity to really restore the bay scallop. So in 2009, we began an effort to do that, and which is now funded by some significant money from the Army Corps. Here are some of the numbers from that seaside data that Mr. Bull was referring to in terms of what it meant in terms of today's dollars if we had those scallops there. What we're doing, and actually this enhancement is all based on Dr. Lutenbach's staff growing and providing the source of bay scallops, like putting scallops that he grows in a hatchery out in the field, so they're in cages, providing the source of the Bay Scout larvae to settle on these grass beds. And he's been doing that since 2009. In the last couple of years, that effort has been increasingly enhanced because of the source of money that we're getting to provide that effort. What we do is, in successive years, for the last 3 years, we have teams of people that actually go out and assess in July how many scallops are out in the bottom. So we do it several ways. One is which we use a kind of a vacuum cleaner to look for the small ones, and then we have teams of people that literally put down little white PVC plots and count the number of scallops by hand, because that's the only way to really accurately assess it. There are other methods, but the only way to really find out the numbers that are there is actually counting by hand. And so the last 3 years, here are the actual numbers of adult scallops that we've seen in these bays, which we had a little over, well, close to 40,000 in 2012. There was a decline in 2013, but with the enhanced effort by Dr. Lukenbach's staff, we're now seeing a significant increase in the number of bay scallops. And so our hope is that with the sustained effort that we've had in not just enhancing, but now watching how these beds are recovering naturally. And as Hank said, we've put in a little over 52 million seeds and something like, well, it's now a little over 400 acres. That has now spread to these four bays. We're actually over 5,000 acres now in 2013. We haven't assessed it. So just by putting a few seeds out, nature has really taken over and essentially done things that we just couldn't imagine had happened. This had happened just a few years ago. So we're very much encouraged by the success of this effort and the fact that the opportunity, as we've talked about, to restore a resource that had a significant commercial value to the space is something that we look forward to. And again, I think adding these set-aside areas would at least give us that opportunity to provide that habitat. And one of the things that we've done, I think, every year is we come to you and tell you what's going on. I think that's important to provide you an update so that if things are going well, it's great. If they're not, we can always go back and, you know, change things. But I think the important thing is to give you that annual update of what's happening, because we are on the cusp of something that very few people have had that opportunity to essentially restore a fishery that had been lost for over 70 years. There are many other benefits, but this is one that is probably the most visible and, you know, one of the most tangible things that, you know, that we could really put our hands on. So with that, I'll just be here to answer any questions regarding this. And unfortunately, I wouldn't be here for the December 9th meeting, so unless you wanted to move it to January, and I think Dr. Lukenbach also could not be here. Now, he's in charge of the scallop enhancement program, but we do work together because we're doing the seagrass, but we all combine our efforts during that July period to find out where the scallops are. And it's a pretty big effort. It involves four teams of sometimes up to six people per team over the course of a week to basically find out how many scallops are there. So it's a pretty intensive effort.
Mr. Zetron.
Do you have a problem with, is there a problem with people poaching those things?
No, not right now. And, you know, if we get to that point, which, you know, we can dream about where it becomes a reality, I think that's just something that we have to deal with. Now, there are fisheries up and down the coast where there are seasons for harvesting bay scallops. There actually was a season back in the 30s when they did harvest the scallops, which were primarily winter months because back then they didn't have ice to ship the scallops. But I know in Florida they have a very distinct season of people can go out and harvest scallops in a certain number. So, you know, you can't help but poke, you can't help that if it happens. But I think as we get to that point and we watch these numbers, there are opportunities to work with the staff here in figuring out how do we deal with an issue that we hadn't had in 75, almost 80 years.
Thank you. Ms. Erskine.
Dr. Worth, some of the light green, Hank had a map up there that had some light green and dark green kind of coloring on it. The light green is the current SAV coverage.
That's correct. That's based on what we see in the aerial mapping that we do every year. Yes, sir.
Okay. And about how long would it have taken from the time that you all did the restoration, I guess, in that area to expand to the current
Most of
area?
The restoration that we've done to date has been in that original set-aside. And actually, in South Bay, we stopped enhancing that area in 2005. So since 2005, all that light green area that you saw has occurred from natural spread. So that, maybe we can go back a little bit, Hank. Yeah, let's go back to that. That's out phase one. Yeah, okay. So the original, this is the original set aside that the commission gave us early on where we did the initial enhancement. So all this light green that you see here, including way, way down here, there are some areas that are light green. And I don't know if Hank pointed out, all these areas in the magenta patching are the bailer grounds, okay? And so those are the areas that are public grounds. This light green area is all from spread, natural spread from this one big plot. Basically, we know how these plants spread, and it's all doing this naturally. What we're trying to do is enhance it even more so, because given what we've been seeing with base gallus, you want to get that, get more habitat there, because more habitat, because the base gallus, the way they operate when they spawn, the little baby gallus are like muscles that have to attach to a blade of eelgrass, and they grow there for 5-6 weeks until they get to be about maybe a thumbnail size, then that's when they settle down inside the grass bed. So, again, the effort is to try to get as much grass there as fast as possible now that we're seeing the scallop work really pay dividends by enhancing that particular portion of the project.
Ms. Hurst.
I could just have a follow-up. So this is all, I think, very important work, and I congratulate you all for the expansion, certainly, that's taken place. With regards to the kind of revitalization of a commercial industry for the scallops, how would that be harvested when, by regulation, you know, the industry can't grow shellfish in SAV and colonized areas with SAV? So it's kind of difficult to envision an industry that would start for the scallops in an SAV area.
I think that's something that we would have to work with staff and look at the way scallops are harvested in other areas. I know they've had a very successful enhancement program in New York where they are doing something very similar. Actually, we're mirroring kind of much of what they do. And in the last couple of years, they've had a very significant commercial harvest providing a very significant source of income to the watermen in those areas. So if we get to that point, and I don't know where we are on that curve, that's something that we would work with staff and certainly look to the commission for guidelines on how we approach this. I mean, I think it would be a fantastic opportunity to get to that point. I think we're a few years from that. I mean, when we were talking about the base gallop work, Dr. Lubenbach and I figured it may take up to 10 years to get to that point, and we're only kind of halfway there. But as you can see from the numbers, and given the grant money that we have over the next couple of years from the Army Corps, we're enhancing that effort, and we're hoping that we'll see the number in 2015 when we do the adult survey to be significantly enhanced. And again, all this information we will provide to you every year as an update that I provide, like which I'll do another one in January, because this was kind of a special case. And again, if you wanted to move the public hearing to January, then I could be here and not moving back. That would be your option, because there may be
that was my
that
question. I was going to ask, is could we just take this to public hearing in January instead of...
I mean, I like to be here because I like to hear if there were some comments, and I think 1 month wouldn't make a difference, but unfortunately, like I said, I'm going to be out of the country, and I think Dr. Lubenbach couldn't be here. And the two of us are really the key people that are doing restoration work that I think, as questions come from the audience in the public hearing, that we would be here to respond to questions that you might have from that.
We could push the public hearing back to the January meeting, which would be the end of January, but please keep in mind we have the cottage line dune issue to be resolved at that meeting, which is going to take 3 or 4 hours.
I still think it would be
good
to have a scientist here.
Dr. Lippenbach.
Speak maybe to what the real issue is at this point. I certainly don't mind being present if there's more discussion about scallops, but I don't think it's really about scallops. The real issue, we've got some unassigned bottom, and these are areas where the grass is spreading. It's going to spread. This is about reducing conflict, though it may cause some at your public hearing. It's about reducing conflict by giving Habitat or Shellfish Division, if that's what you've got then, a basis for not leasing that section of unassigned bottom. Now, there are in fact sprigs of grass starting to show up in some of these places now as well.
You're right.
And so I think it's probably irrelevant frank, well, it's not irrelevant that the scallop restoration is going on and that there are some future potentials there. But you have a near-term issue. The really important issue here is the grass is spreading on its own. It's not going to spread out of control and grow everywhere. You've already heard that our assessment puts no more than about 9% of the area of the coastal bays all up and down as being suitable habitat. It's reaching, with this, we think it's getting close to reaching into the maximum of where it's going to spread in this area. So if you want to think about it as this set-aside is no longer, it's not, this original was a set-aside for VIMS to do an experiment. Now it's basically a directive to your habitat division or to shellfish leasing that they have a basis for not offering new leases in there, which is we're pretty darn certain that grass is going to spread there. So that if that makes a difference in terms of your deliberations about whether to do this in the December meeting versus January, I think that's the key, and I would almost argue that Hank can speak to that as well as that issue perhaps as well as we can, but we're obviously willing and able to be here.
Well, thank you both. That was all very informative here. And I guess the decision here that we're faced is whether or not to approve this for a public hearing and when you want to hold the public hearing.
At my opinion, would be to have it in January. And because basically what these gentlemen have presented today, we'd be ready to move on it today. But we may need them to represent this in January if we have opposition from industry and that kind of thing. So I'd like my experts here.
You want to put that in the form of a motion?
I would move to approve the public hearing to take place at the January commission meeting.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion on that?
Who's second?
The second by Mr. Zito.
Thank you.
All right. We have a motion made and duly seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. We'll have the public meeting. Motion passes. We'll have the public meeting at the January session.